This is a production of Cornell University.
Today's lunch is October 5th, Employee Assembly Meeting. It is 12:19 p.m. Are there any late additions to the agenda for today? Okay. First thing we're going to jump to is approval of the minutes. So if everybody can take a quick look.
Motion to approve with the corrections that I sent to Amy.
All in favor? Oh, actually, we have second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Okay, moving right into business of the day, Bridget. I don't want to see you chewing. You, Bridget. You are the one talking about staffing.
All right. The executive committee met last week, and we went through, after I had received emails from about all of you, I believe it was, and divided you all up into committees, and I'm passing that around now.
Yay, good job.
And thank you all for being so responsive and signing up.
We gotta put Jason's on top of the phone.
Can you see this, Jason? Hold it up for you.
There are a few committees, or two committees, that we are still short one person for on the university side. We're short somebody for campus planning and transportation hearing and appeals board.
Pick me.
Pick you.
No, I can't. I was just kidding.
I'm
just kidding.
Okay. I think I'm under blessing.
Do these have to be EA members, or can they be appointed by EA?
I believe they can probably be appointed by EA, but I do not remember for sure.
Okay. Is anybody interested in participating in those? Can everyone send an email to at least one person asking if someone is interested that they know on campus to serve on these?
Are there descriptors someplace?
There are on the website.
Transportation will.
The Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board and Campus Planning?
Yes, Campus Planning, Transportation Hearing and Appeals.
So people can reach out and see if we can get someone on those. I would appreciate it. Does anybody have any questions about
assignments?
I do.
Jason, let's see.
Go ahead. What am I on?
We assigned you to the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board.
You need a friend.
Yeah, bring a friend. You should probably shortly. Bridget is working on appointing them in the system, and then you'll be added to the email list. None of the committees has met yet this year. But they will start meeting soon, so you'll be getting updates on that. And then as far as EA committees, I know communications has a chair, staff recognitions and awards has a chair, but we need a chair for personnel and we need a chair for education, I believe. So if anyone who is on either of those committees is willing to kind of step up and chair, right now, those committees don't have any specific work to do, so we should probably spend some time talking about what they might do. But if you're on one of those, you can think about sharing.
Is there a specific agenda about how many times in a year the committees meet?
No. It really depends on the committee and the work that they're doing, which is why some of these are in questions. Like last year, communications met a lot. They met monthly, right? If not more. About monthly. Staff recognitions and awards only meets two or three times a year. Linda, you chaired personnel in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know how often you guys met.
Only a few times because we weren't really getting along.
Right. So it's a question of, you know, I think staff recognitions and awards has a built-in reason for meeting because of the award that we give out, and communications obviously is doing a lot. It's a question right now of whether personnel and education, if we have something that we think that they should be working on. And if people want to think about that, maybe we can talk at our next meeting real specifically about those two committees and what they can do. And if there's nothing for them to do, then maybe we should have the committee active. Anybody have any thoughts?
I have a question.
Sure.
The reason I signed up for the personnel
mm-hmm.
one, I don't even know if this is the right committee to be on, is because somebody approached me about something they wanted me to bring to EA, and I guess when do you bring it up? Their concern was time that was given to staff when their child dies, and the amount of time that they're given off and how it just doesn't coincide with what you need to grieve the loss of your child. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how do you bring those things forward? Or just
you bring them to the group, and we certainly, I mean, that's something that I would mm-hmm. say we'd put in new business here and talk about. Do we want to take a minute and talk about that? I mean, Linda, I don't know if you have any thoughts being in the HR world.
Yeah, no, I think so. Basically, we would be reviewing our bereavement leave. That could be what the policy for the year could be. Bereavement leave.
Through the personnel committee, I mean.
Yeah, through the personnel committee. And I guess what we would do is work with reviewing it, and if we have any suggestions, then working with Nora Jacoby, who owns personnel policy on the HR side, to share with her kind of what our recommendations would be. Then she could take those forward. So that would be the process. So is that one that would interest people to look at? We could say that's what mm-hmm. our committee would look like, and then maybe have one initial meeting, distribute the policy, have everybody read it, and then kind of give feedback on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So can I sign up for that
Okay.
But if there was an immediate need and someone's grieving and needs some answers, like,
right,
later that day,
right,
what are we telling people?
Oh, if they want interpretation of the policy?
Or just some help, just some advice, sort of, and sort of like, so that we're not, you know.
Right, who would we send
it to? It would go to Alan Mittman's office, because they own HR policy and interpretation of the policy, so they would be able to help somebody through the policy. Obviously, their own HR person
could
as well. But if they want even further interpretation, Alan's office, Mittman's office.
So if they talk to their HR person, you know?
Yeah, this was after the fact. Their child was killed, and the amount of time that they were given off, they came to me and said, if there's one thing they do before they leave Cornell, they'd like to have some kind of impact on that, because it's just so different than if a parent dies.
So I wonder too if it would make sense to invite that person to also sit on the committee.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
What is the current leave policy?
It was just a matter of a couple of days.
I think it's probably 3 days.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what have been like too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times your department will.
Yeah. Well, the department did, and but it was important enough to him that. That was something he thought that really needed to be looked at.
What is the maternity, paternity thing that we have? That's true.
Well, I'm on the next one.
4 weeks
of half
pay. Four weeks of half pay.
That seems
for parental leave.
That's parental leave, and that would be in addition to if there was disability leave that the person would get from having given birth.
That seems out of whack to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that could be a recommendation for this committee to say, could the university do something like that in a case of a child, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It could definitely be something.
Would that be something where people could give days to someone? You know how you can do that sometimes in sickness, I think? The catastrophic leave? Right. Could you give people days? Maybe that would even be something.
Not currently. That is her current policy.
They just actually did an extension of policy for people who were victims of the flood to be able to allow departments to do catastrophic needs for individuals and that, but it's just an addendum for this situation. But typically, it wouldn't qualify under that. It would qualify for an illness of a family member that mm-hmm. the person was taking care of, for the family, for the person themselves experiencing that. But currently, no, it doesn't fall under that. So that's something that could be a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I mean, I think any of us here who have kids, if one of our kids died, that
yeah,
you would be. I think I literally would be disabled.
Yeah,
you know,
and very real to many members of the community too, which is not currently part of the policy. I had an employee who could not come to work for at least a week because her canine child passed away. Mm-hmm. It was very real to her.
Sure,
I mean,
sure, it is.
Because she was crying hysterically. Mm-hmm. So you know that I know that a lot of people will say, "Oh, you can't compare the two."
No,
but
you
I will
can.
Tell you that maybe one day you know would be a good thing to recognize. I mean, that's where we even look at the policy too, at least one day, mm-hmm. if somebody's putting their
I had to take 2 days off
family member down like that. Or, you know, I mean, so I think there's room that we can make some recommendations on that policy to be much more of a caring community.
So, do we think just in this conversation, I think we can charge the personnel policy committee with looking at the bereavement policy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So we have a, we have an item now. We just need a now we just need a chair.
So many other committees right now to make another meeting. I just don't know that I'll be able to reliably do it, and that's what I had said.
Yep, yep.
She did. That's why I did not put you down as chairing that
one. I want to be a member. I just know I won't be organized enough to get my act together to get it scheduled regularly.
And maybe Jeannie or Gary can think about that. I'm not going to pressure you, but if you can think about it. Sharing.
So maybe we can move an alternate chair. Be okay with that.
I mean, I don't necessarily know that there needs to be a really formal chair, but somebody who's going to be the catalyst to move the group forward.
Because we do have to appoint that on the staffing system, don't we? Mm-hmm.
So for the education committee, since we don't have a chair, maybe we could just all meet and talk about what we might want to do and then make some recommendations to you all and look at what has been done in the past. Would that be documented through minutes and things? What's been done in the past?
I'm trying to think. Who was past Healy?
Healy
is no longer here.
Do we have met last year?
No, I think we met once.
Yeah.
And it was just, it wasn't a productive session. There's no minutes from it.
I don't think that they were working on anything. It may just be let's talk to the education policy and see if there's something that strikes the goal.
I thought there was a big change with the education. Was with the they were hoping to move the class registration
to online. We never heard back about that.
Because you remember you had to run around and have everybody and their grandmother sign it.
Yeah,
I thought that was
about that last year.
And I thought they actually met with continuing.
There was a lot of conversation about that, and with the change to the
Qali?
No, not Qali.
Workday.
The HR Workday system. Things got slowed down, and then we didn't hear back the final outcome. But I so that is something that could be followed up on.
Mm-hmm. Also, with the employee degree program benefits that full-time staff is getting, I actually had an issue with Johnson School of Management, issue in the sense their terms for charging tuition, which would matter for taxes mm-hmm. at the end of the year, that was, they were charging as full-time students for summer when compared to the spring and fall semester. Mm-hmm. So that was an issue because the staff member at Johnson Register and the staff member at Benefits, they had different viewpoints about what had to be charged. Mm-hmm. And luckily I didn't have to take any classes at Johnson for summer, so that kind of, that issue passed away, but I think for next summer that would still be an issue.
It looks mm-hmm. like there's some things that education may want to talk mm-hmm. about. So. Who's on there right now? Kathy and Melissa and Lavanya. So can the three of you communicate with each other? And I don't know who else is already appointed to that. Do you have anybody else? Not on the EA, but...
Oh, no. I think there's anybody besides EA members.
Okay. So
that should all be done tomorrow.
Okay. So if the three of you want to get together and look and see if there's something...
I'll send out an email. See if we can find a time to meet.
Okay. Sure.
Thanks, Kathy. What were the two committees we need people for?
Planning and transportation hearing appeals.
And so will these committees be informed that we're now members? Like, how will we know?
Yes, I will go I'm going to be notifying the UA of the members.
Okay. So
today, and then either today or tomorrow, and then I will be also uploading it to the staffing website this week as well.
On the UA committees, when do they meet? Do they all meet at night, like the university assembly?
No, they will send out. They'll send out an email. They haven't met yet. I'm going to suggest that they send out to figure out when people can meet.
Okay. Okay.
And will they get a hold of us, or do we need
yes,
to get a hold of them?
They will, get,
they will get a hold of you.
Other questions on committees?
Good job, Bridget.
Yeah, good
Thanks,
job.
Bridget.
Very nice. Next thing on the agenda, letter of support for the... At our last meeting, it was requested by Marin that we put together some sort of letter of support for the employee engagement survey. I spoke to Nancy Doolittle, and she's actually putting together a whole article for the paw print. So the idea was rather than us writing a letter, I'm not quite sure where the letter would go, but we would put, she would put kind of a quote from the assembly saying, like, we basically push this forward from feedback from staff, and we really hope that you'll be open and honest with your answers and that there will be response to it. So if everybody's comfortable with that, we'll get that in the paw print.
Do we know, they probably said it, but I can't remember.
When
the response would, because the people will ask me, well, I'll fill this out, but how long before something, this is looked at, or?
Well, it's going to, I don't know that she said, but there'll be a period of time that it's open, and then they'll have to collect the data and do whatever sort of processing, and then it's got to go to the appropriate HR. So I don't think it's going to turn around, and in January we're going to have answers. I mean,
right.
It's probably going to be the end of the academic year before
right.
we're really, I think, seeing things happen. But I think it's going to depend on who the information has to go to and what else is on their plate.
So SRI is doing the work?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be great to just have a really ironclad timeline for ourselves that we could, like, say we know this is coming, because all of us are involved in surveys. You do it and you forget about it. And it's whatever happened to that? Nothing.
And they gave us, I don't, you have your thing.
It doesn't have anything here for that.
All we have here is that the survey is going to go out beginning of November. Actually, the end of October. The survey will close November 18th. And then
That's a reasonable ask for a timeline that...
Mm-hmm. I can ask
Marin for a we'll show that we care and want something to come out of it. Decide to report on a shelf someplace.
Will there be a report stuff on it that we can talk about?
There will be a general report that will be up for anyone at the university to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they were happy to come back and meet with us and share other things. But I don't know that we'll get a you know, every piece of every little nitty gritty of information. I don't think she's said.
But once they've done all of that, then we can look at we can ask for specific
right.
information. But generally, with those surveys, they have to go through the stakeholders first before they can release the information. So it'll go to Mary and David, and then they'll determine whether that report is
how the report is captured.
We're not considered a stakeholder in this?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. We're not for it.
I think it would be very helpful if we can then go back to individuals who we may have encouraged to do the survey and say, you know, it'll go to stakeholders. We will get a report out in EA where some of the, you know, bigger findings and some next steps might be presented to us, and at that point in time we're looking spring time frame or something like
that.
I could ask
Marin for a little bit of a sense of
something.
We might even want to plan something that's an open event.
Yeah.
Where we're talking about the results of the survey. That would be either during a meeting time or separate from a meeting.
I think a brown bag would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just curious, like, is there a reason why the EA itself is not a stakeholder? Because we're the ones who also, didn't we pass a resolution on it to ask the president to do this, and that we will, I thought in the resolution was that the results are originally back to us.
Right, so we'll get some, but whether they're going to say, oh, in this, like, the president will and Mary will probably get results to say, oh, in this pocket of campus, there's this issue. We may not get that.
But that's
what
I'm asking, why not?
Well, we might be able to ask for that. What we'll probably do is have them come here and report out, and then we can say, hey, we need more information on this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned by if they get, I mean, I understand, like, CHR or whatever research is to see things in the raw data. Well, I think whatever report they get, the president and Mary Opperman, we should be able to see too. And I think whether or not we have a closed meeting, we're not allowed to discuss it. Mm-hmm. But I just feel as an employee rep, we should see the same thing that the president's seeing.
Not that it filters.
Yeah. Because I think that gives legitimately to us as an organization passing that resolution to have that. And also what our responsibility is to the president. We're supposed to serve as an advisor to him. And if we're seeing different information or being filtered information, what does that mean to our credibility?
Well, I'll ask Marin, and if they say no, there's nothing stopping us from asking the president in another resolution to share the full.
I mean, you can say we won't share,
right,
with,
yeah.
But I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with Curtis. I think it should be the chair of the employee assembly is with Scorton and Mary, and that's the ask. So we're not saying it's not like an open free for all thing, but just like saying, okay, here's the two people in a room. Let's have three people in a room,
right,
and have it be the chair of the employee assembly from the get go. So we're not playing catch up on this. So I think we should make that ask, you know, to whoever we need to ask. Who's Marin?
Marin Klucksberg, she is the director of research.
And then we could ask Mary, too.
Mm-hmm.
Marin and Marnie did say they'd add a disability question.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is, do you have a disability? Yes or no? That's the question. We answered around other
that
more complicated questions. But I thought they were more too complicated. Like, do you self-identify as a person with a disability? I was worried that people might think, well, I have one, but I don't tell anyone that I have one.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that would get a little complicated. So I just, my do you or don't you assume that?
Was there any talk about having something in the survey about ease of accessibility across campus with a disability?
I don't think there were any questions about
that. I just was wondering if that was something that you guys had discussed as possible. I mean, because that's an interesting question, and particularly in light of the permit changes that are coming, it would be interesting to.
But I did think that there were other questions that if you answered yes or no to the disability question, that it might inform the other answers that you had.
Mm-hmm.
So, and trends about that, you know, about the kind of respect you get in your department and things like that. So, so I don't know. I could go back and look at that again.
I was just curious if that was something that
even it's just a general gist of
campus that's friendly to the disabled. Mm-hmm. You know, really global. Might be.
Is that too vague a question? Are you disabled? And not being disabled, I don't know, but.
Well, I don't think so.
Is that open to interpretation?
Well, it is even by the law, sort of open to interpretation. So it's not a clear cut thing always who's protected by disability law. So I think the real question is, do you see yourself as a person with a disability? And that's what sort of we're trying to, I think, the answer you're trying to get at.
Or are you trying to get at the question of,
well, what type of disability?
Do you feel your, either your rights are protected or you're afforded the same
opportunities. Yeah. Physical disabilities, and some are more obvious. You know, curb cuts for wheelchairs is an obvious thing, but, you know, books on tape for dyslexics may not be as obvious.
Mm-hmm. I think what Jamie's
saying. I don't know
saying,
what the end game
right.
for the question is. Whether people are, you know, we have 50,000 disabled people, and something needs to be happened. You know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Actually, right now there's no information collected by how many people consider themselves disabled. So I think what this is sort of the first opportunity to say. How many people in our community consider themselves disabled?
Well, what's the second question? Because you said there's two diverse disability questions.
No, I just we sort of considered asking it in two different ways.
Oh, so there's only one. And so do you know already, like, I'm sure, like, if somebody registers, like, in terms of HR, but that data, I guess, is collected, right? So you can compare that.
Well, I think that's, and Linda maybe could speak to that more clearly, but I think that's done in a very ad hoc kind of way. So somebody might be getting accommodations from their department, and they never go through HR. So
they're supposed to.
Well,
they're supposed to get disability services for any accommodation request at all, regardless, even if it's a pillow for the chair.
But they don't consider parking an accommodation, yes. So all of the people who get parking, and that is what I would consider an accommodation, mm-hmm. That's a completely separate.
Well, I'm just talking about for a baseline comparison. Like, I'm just curious, like, if we just get that, theoretically, how many HR requests? Like, so we get 52, and then all of a sudden we have 4,000. I mean, I think it would just cause an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think in that regard of the question, how that can be useful as a start of a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, so we have a lot of people who are self-identifying mm-hmm. or some way
uh-huh.
as a person with a disability. However, we only have a fraction who are
right.
requesting accommodations. That might be down the road. But that's what I was just wondering.
Right.
If you
yeah,
knew
that's
that.
Where I think that data is really interesting to see how many people are actually publicly identifying to mm-hmm. their supervisors or HR versus those who are accommodating within themselves how to work through their disability mm-hmm. and really not telling anyone about it. And it'll have to be percentages because remember only a percentage of the staff
yeah.
will fill it out. So we'll have to say, well, you know, this percentage of the total population filled it out, identified, and what we're finding is of the total population, this percentage have through disability services, we can ask them for the number of individuals who have asked for a disability accommodation. So we can cross compare those to see if there are people who are not self-identifying,
mm-hmm.
but trying to manage within themselves mm-hmm. to accommodate. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they added questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the inclusion questions, too, that thank you, Curtis, for because I think they're really important, will also be very telling if you
mm-hmm.
take a look and they say, yes, I consider myself disability, and then you see those who say, right, yes, say, I don't feel I belong
right.
at a higher rate than those who are not disabled, and there is an issue, too, that we would definitely need to address.
Right.
So I think some of those cross-reference, like you
yeah.
said, with other questions will be
mm-hmm.
very helpful and
mm-hmm.
help us understand.
Anything else from the survey? Gemma, you want to talk about the CARE Fund auction?
Sure. I'm sure we're getting really close. The online auction will start Monday, next Monday the 10th, and it'll go right through the 19th. So we'll be advertising that with flyers and more emails, and I think we're getting the word out pretty good. Mm-hmm. Right now I only brought one, but I'll pass around what we have so far. We have, and that's not even, they're coming in daily, so they haven't been updated in 3 days. We have over 100 items. Wow. And for the live auction, we're going to plan on 45, because it's going to be from 1 hour from noon till 1, so we think we can get through 45 items easily.
Yikes. Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, okay. It's pretty quick with it. So we do need volunteers for setup. So I'm going to pass around the sheet. I'm hoping everybody will sign up. And there's many more other than setup. There's 50-50. So we'd like someone to run a 50-50 to bring in more money. Any greeters? Some of the items are already filled in. Auction item runners. So we're going to have from 11 until noon, the live auction items will be on tables for the display. And then when they'll be in chronological order, so when the runner will bring it up to the auctioneer, and there'll be a banner there who'll kind of walk around, show it, do a little thing, yep.
The volunteer list.
Somebody already volunteered to be the banner. Yeah. And then you'll run it back to the table. Then there'll be cash out tables at the end, with the panel numbers, you know, and then you'll bring it to the table. But I'll give everybody instructions for runners. We need 6 runners. Cashiers right now, don't need anybody to sign up for cashiers at this point, because we're going to try and get the BSC people to do that, because there'll be credit cards and everything. So we're hoping we can use credit cards. We haven't worked that out yet.
You may not be able to, because there's probably not compliance over there. Compliance.
Yeah. I'm hoping, because so many people, I don't want to lose sales.
Would we be able to support it to a lot of my peers if they have credit cards for the care fund and contributions?
If we have a portable slide, mm-hmm. like an iPhone, yes.
I would imagine the BSC would have those.
Sure. They use them for
thinking that we can pull that together, because I have a feeling we would lose some sales, because so many people walk around with their debit cards and don't carry checkbooks anymore or cash. So we have students that are going to serve the lunch for us, but I do would like one EA person to be a lunch coordinator, kind of order the pizza and the beverages and be that person that would work with Amy with her credit card and pick it up and get it there. And then help the students for that. I'm trying to get a call topic on 3 times, hoping that they would, someone said they give donations, so I'm hoping that they'll reduce the price, because that is coming out of our EA budget, so everybody knows that.
Have you tried
sheet
pizzas?
I haven't. I want to do 2.
Okay. Yeah. Does Cornell do pizzas?
They do, yes.
Because we may want to look at that and see, because then we're buying from our own. Mm-hmm. I know that was the thing with the president's address last year.
I can get prices. And Cornell, when you see the sheet, Cornell Catering is giving out, Cornell Dining, I should say, they really put a lot of stuff into this auction. So I don't want to ask for a donate any more from them. But if they can give us the same prices, I could order pizza.
Maybe they could give it to us for cost or something like that.
Yeah. So I'm still working on that. But I would like one person to sign up to be that coordinator. And I'll tell you where to order it. How's that?
Yeah.
Someone just started one thing.
The other thing, just to pass out, is that the student assembly and the GPSA, they're ready, willing, and eager to help us.
Yes.
So we can send this to them too, and they will come and help out. Because they again approached us. They approached us yesterday after the UA meeting, the student trustee, to say we really want to help. And they actually, there was something in the Cornell Daily Sun. They talked about Care Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Great.
And when is that lineup?
October 20th at noon. And then I did advertise that we would have absentee shoppers. I don't know if anybody's going to want that. So that would be someone that says they see something in the live auction that they want, but they can't make it that day. So they might say, you know, I'm willing to put to bid $100. I would need someone to sit down and be the bidder for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping a few people do that. And then, of course, cleanup. So. I'm getting really excited for it. It's been a lot of time and effort into this auction.
Yeah, it's a nice list.
It ends at 1, so it would be probably some. Usually, you can clean up a lot faster than you can set up. I would imagine it would take less than an hour. Thank you, everybody. That's it. Unless you have any questions on the auction.
Thank you.
Yeah, Donna, thanks.
Great job, you guys.
By passing, if I send something to you guys, just keep passing it around. I actually got, after I sent that call for auction items, I got like 4 or 5 more. So. from you guys.
Oh, could we get the Cornell Concert Bureau to give two Billy Joel tickets?
You might.
I mean, think about this. You may get a good deal.
I asked.
You did?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
All the sad people don't get them. Bill, can we come work for you?
Bill, can you volunteer that night?
Joe Scapito is the one to call. And I can ask him also if he can spare a couple
of days. That would be great. Peggy Beach is asking, but if you could back that up, that would be wonderful. And then it's the day of the event, let's all wear our shirts.
No, also maybe. Philly Services is like doing a whole bunch of things. Should they coordinate?
Yeah,
with
Bob.
Bob
Wakeman. Some of these things aren't even on the list yet, but they're, at least for the silent auction, I know it's starting Monday, but when things come in, I keep saying silent online, and they're supposed to change that. I smell that with the silent. We're going to just add them.
Okay.
To the left.
That guy coming. We have that show.
John Stewart?
Yeah. Do you have John Stewart tickets?
I don't. I asked, and I don't think I asked the right. I didn't go through the right door, and they turned me down right away.
Oh.
And so that's why I decided to ask Teddy Beach this time. Maybe she knows somebody higher up that won't say no to me.
I'll also ask.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great.
Seems like the John Stewart.
They have a couple open for Saturdays on the website, but Friday's sold out. That's all I have for that.
We're up to about 93, 92. Is that what our last application was?
I think so.
Applicants for the CARE Fund since last November.
We haven't funded all 92.
No, we have not funded.
Probably in 60-ish, shall we say?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
From the year before?
Yeah. And this started basically in January.
Yeah, we like November-ish. It started getting out there, but really the kickoff was January.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the student groups are talking about, too, is that they may be willing to do some sort of fundraiser themselves for the CARE Fund, like they do Acapella United.
That would be great if something like that.
So I know that he's been talking with Beth, but it may be something that the CARE Fund team may want to invite the head of the GPSA and the SA and the student trustee to a meeting and talk to them about what they can...
Well, Alex, specifically.
Alex,
undergrad.
Yeah. Because he is... very eager. So let's
I will learn it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else in the CARE Fund?
There should be some way to donate after the fact. Like if there's an article in the paw print. Or in the product, you know, if paw print covers it, or whoever covers it, and say,
in case you missed it, kind of.
In case you missed it, and you want to donate. You know.
Okay, that's a good idea. We have the online. Actually, we ended up with, I think, $3,000 or more when the flooding started. People just went online and started donating themselves.
That's great. So,
Just on the flooding piece, I know you talked about catastrophic leaves. Is there anything public that has been brought out that people can donate time for folks? Do you know?
I know it came across the HR community.
I remember seeing something from our HR rep about that. He forwarded about 12 cows.
I think the HR folks to communicate in their areas. I'm not sure. It might be on because there's a special flood part on the HR page, so it might be listed there too. But I know I did see it across the HR community. They sent it to say, just for this time frame, we're going to be extending it.
And it's just something that it's unfortunate that it doesn't roll down to everyone at the university because there's plenty of us who have time that could be donated that don't know that they can donate. So if there's any mechanism to let, just an HR thing, if there's mechanisms to let the entire campus staff community know that there's potential opportunity to do that,
yeah,
would be great.
The thing about the way the catastrophic leave works is that the individual who needs it, or you know, it could be somebody on behalf of somebody, does the call. They can't tell who the individual is, and it only can be within that person's unit that they ask for the donation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the
right.
versus you know, I just want to donate to the pool of people who might need it. It has to be a specific call that they do.
I mean, just I can just speak like in my department. I have someone in my department, another staff member, who was immediately affected by the situation, and I have no idea that I could potentially give her time, and she's a fairly new employee, so she probably doesn't have a whole lot of time. So it's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
So they have to apply for that?
Well, it could be their supervisor, it could be, you know, HR can become their supervisor. The HR person is the one who has to initiate it. And they say, we have an individual who needs catastrophic leave donations. They can't say who the person is or the details. And then anyone who in the unit who wants to donate time can. And it's only vacation donations for this one. Usually it's vacation and sick, but for the flood, they said specifically vacation donations.
Does it go out of the unit after a certain time? Because, and Ginny lost somebody that's not in my unit, and went out to the whole station looking for if you could donate your time. So it wasn't within my unit, per se?
Yes, it's a budgetary unit within a budgetary unit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, within a budgetary unit.
Let's see, report from the chair. We had leadership breakfast on the 28th, and Susan Murphy came and talked to us. Spent a lot of time talking about the gorges and how we're going to find out a little bit more about means restrictions, where they are in that process. But she talked about a student whose family was just here who had recently lost his life, and they're kind of charged to say that Cornell really should be educating folks more about the safe, being safe in the gorges. What else did she talk about? Talk about the flooding at Alwego and students kind of marshaling together and volunteering, going down there and helping out.
There's quite a bit of talk about fraternities and sororities
and the changes that they're making to the pledging process. Talked a lot about hazing. And I think that was really the gist of the conversation.
Do you remember anything else, Jean?
Talked about the identification of a diverse graduation body. That was one of the things that she talked about briefly.
Mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's a diverse graduation body?
She was talking about how Cornell is now more diverse than it has been, like it was when she was a student. It's become more diverse, and they're looking to continue to grow diversity.
Through graduation.
Yeah.
Most of it culture change.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it, though, fell under the health and well-being issues. Yeah. One of the main concerns.
That was the leadership breakfast. The next leadership breakfast is on October 19th, and we're talking about the New York Tech campus. So if anyone has a particular desire to come and hear about the New York Tech campus, let me know, and we have one extra spot for the breakfast. We'll also be hearing about the Tech campus at a UA meeting, so if you want to come to a UA meeting, they can join us at the EA. Do people have a particular desire to have them come to the EA and talk with us?
I would kind of be curious about the staffing component. I mean, even though they haven't got that far on the plan, but it's kind of a quick turnaround at Cornell. Because their theory is that we will have something if we are approved by the start of next year. Mm-hmm. So I'd just be curious, would that staffing be a part of the Cornell? Would they have a seat on the EA?
That what we found at the UA last night is that they're looking at the New York Tech campus being equatable to Geneva. So it would be part of our EA and our leadership here.
But everybody agreed it's very complicated.
Yes. Very complicated. And
I recommend you have meetings in the
city. That's what we're talking about, every other, yeah. But unless there's an overwhelming desire to have them come to our meeting, I'd rather
not have them come, and anyone who wants to hear about the tech campus can come to the UA meeting once it's scheduled.
There's so many resources being put into this thing. I think folks are going to be crushed if we don't get the jab.
Yeah.
I mean, there's countries competing for this jab.
I think the some of the bigger questions that came up in the UA meeting were, you know, at a time where Cornell's saying that we don't have a lot of money, we're cutting staff, we're not getting raises, the big red barn is falling apart. Why are we looking to invest in yet another large project?
That question was raised at the Faculty Senate meeting, too. And the response was deemed inadequate by the person who raised it. But the response was that none of the resources for the building of it would come from current university resources. It would all be fundraising. But then the question is, does that pull away from the fundraising that we're doing for this campus?
Right.
And there's not a sufficiently satisfying response to that question.
You know, I think sometimes with the administration, you know, I'm in the administration, so I think that they want to take us someplace where we don't want to go, but we really need to focus on the nuts and bolts stuff that's the work of the employee assembly that we can have some influence over. And so the tech campus, it's sexy, right? But as far as, like, just the junk that we're dealing with and the really important stuff, I think it's important we stay grounded on that on that task, because that's why we're here. I was on one of the Gorge committees, and that was a really interesting thing. And then the thing I pitched that just got shot down fairly quickly was, I think there should be a pool, a big outdoor pool complex on North Campus. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the pool at Ithaca College. It's big, nice, there's a huge deck. People just want to hang out. There's a social component to it. So, you know, and people are, and there's pools in northern campuses all over the country. This isn't like people say, oh, no one will use it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, in my mind, you know, so there's the cachet of the gorges. But the bottom line, too, is there's a social component. And just hang out and talk and stuff like that. Is it the end-all, cure-all? No. But, you can only do so much of those gorges. And one of the things that really is annoying is how there's part of Cornell that promotes the gorge. You know, one of the things you have to do when you're at Cornell is go to the gorges and go swimming. I mean, it's out there all the time.
Well, and that's what Susan was saying, that we need to change those things.
Well, we did this thing. Communications took the 161 things you should, which is a product of the Daily Sun. Okay, and they put it on the homepage of the university that 161 things every Cornellian should do. Now, most people have never looked at that, read that thing. I have. A tenth of it is horrible. Get JA for pissing on the law school. Hook up with a freshman and hope you don't see her the next day. I mean, it's correct. Okay, get wasted. I mean, horrible stuff, plus the gorgeous. So it's like, ha, ha, ha. Well, are you serious about it or not? You know, so I just think that, it, to me, the gorge thing is more disturbing than the bridges and the nets. I think we've become ambivalent about people drowning in the gorges. Oh, wow, a couple more? That's too bad.
Well, and one of the things that Susan said is that, you know, people think that people are drunk and they go in the gorge and that happened, and the students are not drunk. And but she said, you know, just recently that someone had mentioned that with all the rain and everything, they saw a couple students going down in the gorge with a kayak. They were in a kayak in the gorge. And the person who saw them said, no, don't do that. And they said, oh, it'll be fine. And she, I guess, called the police and let them know. But, you know, so we spent a lot of time talking about rationale.
It was the mayor. Because I was at that meeting with Susan. She said, I'm walking up to the gorge with these kids in a kayak.
Well, I saw kids running through the gun factory fenced in, you know, asbestos zone, running up and down the gorge just...
Yeah, so we spent quite a bit of time talking about, what was it, risk versus reward, and how for students that's different than it is for us non-elderly age.
Well, that article in the paper, I mean, you sort of think about people drowning and it's fast or something, but that article in the paper on Saturday really showed you how traumatic that is. I mean, I don't know if everyone's experience is like that, but I mean,
I feel so bad for his friend.
Yeah.
Just reading the story, I just feel for his friend. Have watched this.
Yeah.
So it should be required reading.
Right.
I mean, it was traumatic to all those people, you know, involved, and the law enforcement people can't always get there fast enough. They're risking their own lives. Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
cheerful note.
All right. Well,
it's something that staff could potentially enjoy with their families too, if we had a pool.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the protocol that I see.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So are you writing a resolution for a pool? Is that what we're doing?
No. I mean, I threw myself at the steel door 4 times, and then I said, I guess it's not going to happen. So I moved on.
Okay. Take it to the thing.
Something to think about. Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Yeah.
So other things we have coming up. At our next EA meeting, the means restriction folks will be here to give us an update about where they are in that process.
How long is that going to drag on?
Gary?
It's like forever.
It's because the city's involved.
The city's involved.
That's why it's not moving at Cornell's own glacial pace.
Yeah.
The city's involved also.
There's two glaciers. There's some little kids swimming behind.
Yeah, it's we own some of the bridges. The city owns some of the bridges. There's got to be approvals. There's funding. There's maintenance concerns. The fire department has to do training. There's all sorts of stuff. So if those things are up in the spring, I would be surprised.
So, but we'll get that update at our next meeting, like 15-minute update. Our November 16th meeting, Joe Lally is going to come and join us and talk about parking accessibility. It looks like they've formed a committee that is making recommendations for an accessible parking program. And they'll be reviewing those before making any real change. So it looks like maybe it's not a done deal yet, but that they're going to continue to look at it. But Dave Lieb is heading up that committee, and Joe's going to come and give an update on the 16th on where they are with that. We have a date for the President's address to the staff. It's November 28th, so the Monday after the Thanksgiving holiday. So not the most ideal date, but we got a date. So we'll begin working on that.
Where's he going to be?
Well, that's the question. Beth posed not having it at the Schwartz Center, maybe trying to find somewhere else, more central campus, because of the lateness of the year and that it could be cold or snowy or whatnot. Part of the challenge of having it somewhere else is everywhere charges. And depending on where, it could be a lot or it could be a little, and then that takes away from our food budget if we're paying for space.
What's the capacity issue?
450.
We've always had plenty of room. And the nice thing about it, even though it's 450, it feels intimate.
It's such a nice venue for
it's
that
really
event.
It's really nice, intimate venue for that.
Sitting in biotech or someplace.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's in our budget, though, because we give it back every year.
And the 10 bus goes by.
Right, the 10 bus goes by, so there's that.
There's something to be said for moving it around campus.
Right.
Yeah. True. Mm-hmm. Or there'll be some alternative locations.
The Statler's ridiculously expensive. It looks like $800 just to...
For the president,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we have
to. Yeah, Bailey Hall.
Even though we have the money, maybe
but the
money.
President
doesn't
pay it.
I know.
But that's basically.
Perceptually, it's more not as far.
We're talking upstairs. Yeah.
How many people do you think actually attend?
300.
About 300.
So if people can think about spaces. If you have any ideas, but we'll want to kind of get that shored up in the next couple weeks. So
Kennedy has a good space between Bridget and I. We can check.
I think they charge, but maybe you can get it waived. So.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's a reasonable charge.
A reasonable charge. Yeah.
You know, I think there's some people who actually like going to the Schwartz Center.
I mean, that never get down there. And it's such a nice, comfortable environment and creates such a nice ambience for that conversation. And I don't know.
I like it because it's easy for me, but
that's what it's all about.
As the one standing there watching the apples, you know.
Bitterly.
Bitterly. Okay. So that's going to move forward. We have a date for David and Mary to come and meet with us. Another non-ideal date, but December 21st.
What?
The Wednesday before the holiday.
We also have to be here that week.
So,
we actually have a meeting that day?
Yeah. I know.
I'm going to do it now.
Me too. Our two choices were our first meeting of the year, August 16th, which I'm glad we didn't do since, like, nobody was there, or basically our last meeting of the year.
We couldn't have had a little holiday lunch.
Well, you know, someone pointed out that it being the end and kind of in the break time that David and Mary may be a little more relaxed or not so stressed about stuff going on at campus.
But that's after they find out that they get this sick. So, it might be more stressed.
So, but I think, you know, in my thought, that timeline could be kind of interesting in that that'll be a month after the survey is done, so we can really say to them, where are we with the next phase in the process, and we'll have their ear.
We'll need to give them a few talking points.
Yeah.
So.
We have some time before then.
Is there going to be a meeting where Mary just comes?
I don't think Mary just comes to a meeting, does she?
I thought she came to a few just.
Well, we specifically invite her really to a teacher, right?
She used to come two or three every semester.
Yeah.
So I'd like to ask Marilyn about that.
Once
the president started, she would come once.
And you remember, she was like completely late to the last one. So it's like more just the president and us, and Mary came in at the end.
Oh. I will ask if we can get her on.
Yeah, because I actually
have
a question. If you meet with Mary, one of my questions is, given the rising cost of healthcare, definitely what a lot of corporations were known, I wonder how that's going to impact us, because I always get frustrated that they put it in that long email, like paragraph 15, section 2, like, oh, your co-payment is going to go up and da-da-da. And what that means is, you know, we got really mediocre SIPs, if people did get SIPs this year.
Well, and the state side got hammered,
State side was seeing increases of anywhere from 33% to 57%.
For healthcare?
But that made the rate comparable to endowed side of
state, right.
So,
but I'm just curious. I was just thinking about it. I've been here for, 4 years, and I remember my copay was $12, and now it's $18. And I'm like, in a 4 year.
I've heard 10.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just a huge increase when you look percent wise in just 4 years. And I'm like, what, next year going to be 20? It's going to be
20, and that's what we were. The state side was paying, and now that's gone up too. That's gone up, so it's prescription cost.
Getting back to the president's thing, would Sage be a weird place?
It got to be too expensive.
Sage Chapel.
Sage Chapel.
And the other reason I'm saying that is, like, you know, the soup and hopes have been done in there, and it's sort of been formal, and it's nice.
It doesn't fit with the policy about who uses space for what.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The acoustics are not great in that area.
We have a better house for now. So it's that's improved. And there, David is sometimes
it depends on the person.
Yeah, I'd have to double check with the policy, but I don't think it fits.
Then the other thing I'd offer up is the Raymond room.
It's
where the wall was at. Tiny wall.
The setup for the Raymond room
is very expensive.
Yeah.
And even after all that, I don't find it ideally as well as an all the time setup.
We've had it there before.
We had it up in the vet school in the auditorium there. I can't think of the name of the auditorium.
I know we couldn't think of it last night.
Schwartz. I mean, Schwartz. Aww. I know, it's worth
nice, and it's nice.
And it's
warm,
really nice.
Move it around.
And it's very difficult for people with physical disabilities.
That's not necessarily true, because last year we had quite a few people who we made accommodation for, and they could park right behind and walk.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's because we have a special compared to
but where, what, I mean, somebody has a disability, they work someplace. They work at the vet college, they work at West Campus, they, you know.
Anyway, we can look at some places. If anybody has other places, let me know and we'll go from there. Lastly, I just want to throw out there that Mary has formed a committee, and Linda's on it, on rewards and rewards and recognition program for staff.
Yay.
So they are working on something, and they've invited me to join them for a meeting next week where they're going to talk about kind of what their plans are and how we may be able to partner with them in some way. So there are things about kind of trying to take care of staff a little bit more in the pipeline.
Who else did you say is on the committee? You?
Linda. I'm not on the committee, but it's Linda, it's Kathy Berkren,
Joe, the HR person from Elementary Development, Kathy, the HR person from the Johnson School, Cheryl McCraw. It's a group of, it's somebody from compensation. So we were tasked with finding low to no cost ways to reward and recognize employees, the focus is employees. And I wasn't able to make the first couple of meetings because I was out of town. And when I went in, it sounded like some of the things they were saying are basically some of the things that we already have in place through EA. And right away I said, well, we can't have double efforts. Let's like join together and see what we can do together and have even greater impact. Mm-hmm. So that's the direction. There's a couple of other awards that aren't run out of EA that I think are kind of neat. Like they're looking at awards for supervisors who are fellow supervisors of people. But they're things we may want to get involved with in some way. So that's why I said right away, I said we really need to bring EA in and talk about how we can partner, because if both of us are promoting it together, we could maybe have much greater impact with getting the word out there for different rewards and recognitions that we have. So they have kind of a document that we've been working on of about five different types of awards, from kind of care and community type awards, supervisor awards, individual awards, group awards, that we'll be reviewing. And then I told them I felt we really need to come here and present them, starting with you. So the good news is that it's an aggressive deadline on when we had to submit the proposals. I think within the next 2 weeks, Mary wants
something.
Ideas.
Mm-hmm. The president's address award, the employee appreciation award, you know how the
yeah.
owner.
There's been a suggestion.
Okay.
But I don't know if you want to say it on here.
Well, you know, if you want more than one.
Do you usually decide that?
Yes.
Yeah, we usually decide. So if anybody has any ideas, email.
Okay. I shared with them that the last couple of years we've recognized whole work groups, mm-hmm. whole functions.
Right. That helps get people there.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. And I think it's a nice thing to do, mm-hmm. because that was one of the things they were thinking about. And I said, well, actually, EA has recognized. Mm-hmm. You know, again, that first responders important. They really make differences in people's lives. So.
So you can't share with us?
Well, I can. I will return off this thing.
Oh, okay.
I just want to say it in case they went in.
Right.
You know, nobody probably does, but.
Can you say it in code or something?
Are there other Wait, so we're going to talk about other suggestions?
Oh, my God.
So if people have other suggestions, can we talk about them now?
They've gone through the ringer.
They have. It's kind of hard to hear that. Little one right now. We're in the ringer now.
All right. So that was a suggestion. Okay. You have other ones? Put them out. All right. So that's all that I have. Old business. Just a retreat. We didn't do a fall retreat, so we really should think about doing a spring retreat. So start, when do we usually do that? And we try to do it in January.
It's a half a day.
A half a day.
A whole day.
So, Maybe we'll send out a doodle pool and poll, whatever. Get some dates, so we're looking at that. And we're still looking at the charter change to add communications chair to the executive board. We do have to change the charter, and I need to ask Ari where and what we have to do, and I haven't seen him because he was out of town.
Is the EA news going out?
It's on my list of things to ask him about. He just got in this morning.
Okay. So.
Yep. I'm going to see if I can get like the authority to
okay, you do that.
Send this out when I can take something off the plate.
Any other business? Open forum? Looks like we're done. Does anybody want to make a
move to adjourn?
Second.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.